gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm here. Mama's here.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Don't panic.
Nobody help me.
Don't
I'm
panic.
Fine. I'm recovered from Boston now, 6 minutes after the hour. Thanks to John Fugelsang for filling in yesterday. Wow, what a night in Boston, Saturday night for the Sexy Liberal Show. Oh God. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. At Sexy Liberal at Facebook. Lots of new great pictures up from Boston Saturday. By the way, okay, so... Generally, you know, there's an incident in every city where, you know, maybe it prevents me from coming back for a time just because something happened. You remember I almost killed everybody in Minneapolis. I tried to pole dance on the lighting rig.
Were you banned in Boston?
No, I don't. Well, I don't know.
Oh,
Jeff
boy.
In Salem writes, the meet and grow up and spank. Steph, my wife Lori and I had a great time at the show Saturday night. Upon seeing John in person, my wife practically plotzed. I had to use a spatula to pry her off the seat. That happens.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Hal and John, men bring spatulas to get their wives.
And again. And you put wives into that, some wives
oh,
into
shush.
That position, too.
Well, we were psyched for the meet and grope after the show. We didn't realize it would be a meet and spank before the show.
Oh.
Computer says, yeah.
You spanked people? They don't
now,
allow
he'll get
that.
To it. He spanked me. It's a long story.
They don't allow that in Boston.
To clarify for your listeners as well as to jog your memory, upon taking the stage for your set, you immediately descended from the stage into the audience in a box wine stupor. Yes, I do that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dancing, a lot of, you know, dry humping, groping, stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Upon arrival at my seat, you climbed up on the table in front of me and stuck your very tight rear end into my face.
Oh, dear.
Now, are you playing the role of my mother in this opening?
Yes.
Now, my initial thinking was, as someone who spends her life around dogs and, in fact, haven't been raised by wolves, you were simply sticking your butt into a stranger's face as a standard greeting. That's true. It is kind of my way of saying howdy do. I proceeded to sniff your rear end, not wanting to seem impolite. Very quickly, however, the animalistic urges took over, realizing that disciplining the barbarian in front of me was in order. I proceed to spank you in order to awaken your stated purpose for the evening, trashing Marcus Bachmann. That's true. Well, I was in the home of marriage equality, first in the nation. Because they understand, if anyone does, that gay people must be allowed to marry so they will stop marrying Michelle Bachmann. And that was
allegedly.
The mission of the evening. What, he didn't marry her? Yeah, he did. The other part.
The other part,
soon
yes.
enough, you were bounding back onto the stage, making good in your sexy Red Sox-colored lace top, and a grand time was had by all. By the way, I hope you will show off your true patriotism by sticking your new red, white, and blue thong crotch, courtesy of my wife, Lori, in the face of teabaggers across the America. I have a crocheted red, white, and blue thong that his wife, Lori, made me.
Oh.
Very nice.
That was sweet.
P.S. Didn't mean to almost drop you. I zigged when I should have zagged. Yeah, that almost ended in tragedy. The table dancing / spanking. Yeah, we almost knocked over a whole table. It's the whole thing.
Oh.
All right. Anyway, thank you, Boston. Yeah, that was a fun show. What a great town.
And you got to meet Charlie Pierce face to face.
Oh, he's so awesome. Not just that. We hung out and drank afterwards.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be talking to him later on today.
And we're so excited. Aisha Tyler, unfortunately, sick today. We're very sad, but she's joining the tour when Hal's in Scotland in August. We're very excited. Santa Fe coming up August 6th. Detroit, August 20th, as the tour rolls on.
Yep.
All right. So, wow, it's a good time to be us. What with, you know, the whole Murdoch. Wow. The clock, it's imploding. The whole, what the, just since I've been gone. All right, so one of our very favorite reporters is Richard Louis. Do I always say this
Louis.
Name? Louis. I always say his name wrong. Dayside News anchor for MSNBC to update us. Good morning, Richard.
Louis, right? You got it right,
Louis.
Stephanie. Good morning to you.
Louis Louis.
Louis, you know, often I'm greeted like that.
So this is just gets, I, boy, this gets worser and worser. Give us the latest, Richard.
It is the worser-est, I think.
Yeah.
And after today, it depends what happens. You know, in about 30 minutes or so, we're going to see Rupert Murdoch sit in front of 10 ministers of parliament and get grilled. And so that's going to be very exciting. And we were debating earlier, a second ago, whether we should put on a 7-second delay or not. You know, who knows what might happen.
That's the thing is, this first started coming out, Richard, and we were saying, wow, hacking into the phones of missing dead girls, 9/11 victims. You know, I was just in Boston this week, and I'm like, you know, somewhere Whitey Bulger sitting in prison going, what an ass. You know, like, wow, that guy's a... I mean, this is, and it's just, there's so many levels of it, and I think that, tell us how it hits them in the States, because I know at first people were sort of like, oh, well, that stuff had happened in Britain, you know?
Well, you know, already there's some considerations here, Stephanie. There's a real possibility here of the Department of Justice and the SEC looking into investigations into foreign bribery. That's a possibility, some payments to police, perhaps. There's also the possibility of a separate SEC probe into basically failure to disclose the material, the information that could affect the company here in the United States, you know, trying to cover up the entire scandal as it leaks over into the United States. That's one thing. And then you've got what you, which all of us have heard about for some time. There's the FBI and their inquiry into the hacking into, of all things, 9/11 victims in the United States. It's so difficult to even understand how one would do that. But there's not a lot of evidence, at least as we understand it at this moment. And then third of all, in terms of what can happen in the U.S., is some shareholders, big owners of a news corporation in the U.S., they're looking, including some labor union and municipal pension fund stuff that we might actually have our retirement in, they're going to be looking into how Murdoch and the directors of the company might have basically been running a company that ran amok and therefore it was mishandling our money. So those are some of the things that we might see in the U.S.
Well, shares, right, I mean, shares continued to decline Monday, obviously, as the ongoing fallout.
Yeah,
Rebecca Brooks, of course, was briefly was arrested. I mean, it just, every day, I mean, well, I have like seven headlines today just from this.
Just from today. So overnight, the one that might have caught your eye here is the death of Sean Hoare.
I love it. My favorite part of the story, no indications that the authorities are treating his death as suspicious. Really?
What?
Really now? Really? The reporter who blew the whistle on Murdoch is found dead. And
that's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
The guy that first blew the whistle, and they're saying not suspicious. Kind of strange, but, you know,
curious
who
that.
Knows? We just got the information. There's that, the hackers, did you see the some of the things they had put on one of Murdoch's sites?
No.
So
you saw that. Yeah. The headline read, "Media Mogul's Body Discovered." This is what hackers put on the Sun's website. And then after that, they redirected that site to another account, and they were putting up things such as, "Go ahead, arrest us. We dare you."
Wow.
So not a lot of lovers necessarily of Murdoch and Murdoch's papers in some corners of the world.
Well, let's talk about this. So this is the reporter who blew open the phone hacking scandal, found dead in his London home. Sean Hoare, is that how you spell his name?
That's right.
Say his name. Covered show business for the now-defunct News of the World, was the first journalist to go on record claiming his bosses knew about efforts to hack into the voicemails of top officials, soldiers, celebrities, murder victim, etc. He alleged that his editor, Andy Coulson, had asked him personally to hack into phone accounts. Maybe I'm not a you know reporter like you are, but how is it that authorities could not treat this as somewhat suspicious?
You understand how it works here, Stephanie. At this moment, with so much happening and swirling around in this case that goes back, you know, almost 10 years, they're trying to be careful and absolutely dot their I's and cross their T's here. He was found in his home. They don't know why or how he died at this moment. Maybe we will find out in the coming days. But especially with them coming forward to Parliament today and all of the interest and energy in the UK, in London about this, and I'm not sure if you're listening to the hearings earlier today. It started about 2 hours ago, and the top cop there from London's police force stepping down, and that was a big sort of row over the weekend, and perhaps with him stepping down, with him then testifying, all of that swirling around in Metropolitan Police, when this happened overnight, they were like, you know, we need to absolutely be careful with this.
Wow. Hard to follow. By the way, is there any speculation that Casey Anthony killed that guy or no? Is that not... Is that just me?
Let's just get this all together, right?
Yeah.
We need it all together. Another big case.
Wow.
I've been off for a day. I'm a little cattywampus with the
well,
news.
You know,
I'm a little confused.
Stephanie, we don't know where she is, so it's possible.
See what I'm saying? Okay. So then this other headline I'm looking at today, a former Fox News producer claimed Network's Brain Room led to phone hacking. A former producer with Fox News, that's here, obviously claimed in a lengthy essay gaining new traction this week, the conservative television station has a brain room in its New York headquarters, which enables employees to view private telephone records with ease. I mean, obviously, these were published years ago. The allegations have, you know, returned to relevance, correct?
Well, they have returned to relevance, and there is also record, according to the New York Times, of News of the World, News International, paying big bucks, over $1.5 million, over the past 5 years, trying to silence people, trying to keep them quiet, according to what the source is telling the New York Times. So, at least institutionally, according to these reports, threatening legal action did work for some of these who came forward to News International and said, we want money. They got money. And lots of it.
Wow. His name is former Fox News executive Dan Cooper. He was fired in 1996. But so, of course, they're going to go, he's a disgruntled ex-employee. But Roger Ailes allegedly had him redesign the so-called brain room to facilitate counterintelligence efforts and other black ops. I mean, this is the stuff we've been saying and suspecting about Fox News for years. And, I mean, how is this going to affect this, Fox News in the U.S., Richard?
Well, we saw the big deal that was going to solidify his hold in UK media, and that went down the tubes. That could have been a multi-billion-dollar deal. When we look at the stock, as you made note of earlier, going down 4% to $15 closing yesterday, I don't think we've even begun to see what can happen here in the United States, because after the testimonies today and the next 30 minutes when it starts, I think we're going to get a really good indication of where this might go. If you're a big investor, you might consider looking at the News Corporation stock in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, once you piss Jude Law off, I think it's all over in my case.
Yeah, that's
trust
right.
me on that.
That
I made that mistake.
All over once that happened.
All right. Richard Louie of MSNBC Dayside Anchor. Thanks so much, Richard, for your time and for the update. We love it. All right, there he goes.
Love that, Richard Louie Lua. Oh, oh, we got to go.
He's gotten that a few times in his life, I'm sure.
Okay. I'm no better rested than I was before I left
you
my
are not.
Boston trip. All right. Yeah. 19 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Mike in Chicago. Hey, Mike, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, Steph? What's
How much, honey?
I don't know if you heard yesterday, but police had found a laptop and a whole boatload of paperwork in a garbage can a couple doors down from Rebecca's house. And
Rebecca Brooks
through it,
from Fox News,
and they're looking through it right now. And
I mean,
also, they said that this could be the end of the whole dynasty because Rupert has to go in front of the FCC to renew the licenses, and the number one thing they look after is standards and practices.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the odds that he's going to be able to get renewal for any of his 27 stations, it's going to be an uphill battle.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is, like, too good to be true for liberals, isn't it?
We
couldn't even have written this.
When can we go to the top of Mount Everest and start screaming, we told you right-wing tools about Fox News, but none of you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, somebody wrote a piece, Mike, that it's the stuff that we've been pointing out with our friends from Media Matters and others for the longest time that, Glenn Beck, for instance, has incited actual violence. You know, this Byron Williams, mm-hmm. Bill O'Reilly, in my opinion, is largely responsible for Dr. Tiller's murder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's stuff like that you just go, we have known for a long time that this place is just, not to mention the fact that it's an arm of the Republican Party. That's what it is.
Yeah. And you know what? The worst thing is Rupert Murdoch claims that he's hands-on editorial, he's hands-on financially, and yet, so how is he going to be able to say he wasn't aware that any of this was going on?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Mike.
CNBC was reporting yesterday that depending on how Rupert Murdoch does in front of Parliament today, he may be preparing to resign.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, heavens, that is just awful.
So.
We were celebrating in Boston on Saturday night with the, downfall of the Fox administration and the fact that this president appears to kick Eric Cantor in the Adam's apple over this debt ceiling. Meow. they're still doing all this posturing, right? But he's kicked their ass. It's,
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. I got a love letter from...
Oh?
Hmm? Yeah, Cat in Seattle. Oh, Mama's going to be in Seattle Saturday. I totally forgot, but with all the sexy liberalness, it's our big yearly AM 1090, town hall.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis Kucinich is coming.
That's right.
Speaking of sexy liberals, he will be joining us this Saturday, me and the HOA. Randy Rhodes and I will be there. Mike Papantonio, Norman Goldman, Mike Malloy, Ron Reagan, and Congressman Dennis Kucinich. We will be
awesome.
Progressive values protecting the social safety net. And then he's going to get a little speech. He's going to join the panel. Tickets at am1090seattle.com. God, I'd forgotten all about that, for God's sakes. Mama, in Seattle this Saturday, I'll see you there. All right, Kat in Seattle, who is apparently my soul sister. Mama, we, your adoring listeners, have noticed it sounds like you're going through a rough patch in your life.
A little bit.
Yes, I'm having a bad
life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Tiny bit. I find myself in a similar spot with the dissolution of my 10-year marriage and the subsequent fallout. Your fantastically fun, erratic...
Erratic?
It is erratic. Eclectic show and its fabulous array of guest hosts have kept me laughing and smiling even in the depths of despair.
It sucks that she...
If it worked that way for me! Why doesn't my show make me happy?
It's awful that she said erratic. We were going for erotic.
Yeah. Well, it's a fine line.
Yeah.
You and the Mooks keep me informed and caring about the state of our country, even while going through personal tumult. Thank you for keeping me my smile and some sliver of sanity. A lot of people say that to me at the meet and gropes. I fear for people's sanity that are relying on me for their sanity. I really do. I really think I think you're screwed, and yet I appreciate it. But you are screwed.
You don't have sanity to spare.
No.
No.
Enough for myself. I think we might be soul sisters. I've downloaded Baby Monkey to my Happy Place playlist. I Google images of cute critters when I'm feeling down. I eat random dinner leftovers, like me. Especially meat and veggies for breakfast at 6 in the morning. I snort when I laugh.
Yeah.
This is just to say you've got silly, sad, spastic soul sisters and brothers out here that listen to you every day in the Mooks because you show us we are not alone as liberals, progressives, and losers even. That's right, Kat. Losers of the world, unite. I am your leader. Thank you, Kat. Seriously, I am going through a rough patch, and I have to say, that's why the sexy liberal thing has been a godsend, and I appreciate it so much, all the, you know, the kind comments, and it's been, that means a lot to me.
It's, you get a lot of love thrown at you from the audience.
I do, and I...
Did you meet any hot chicks?
I'm not talking to you now.
What?
All right.
I'm just asking because that'll help your sanity.
Okay. Listen, let's, you know, Ronald. Oh, by the way, wait, I have a quick story. Guess who was on my plane?
Who?
Going to Boston. Professor Henry Louis Gates of Harvard University. He was in first class. I was back in coach. I had a little beer summit with him. I broke through the curtain like in Bridesmaids. I thought, oh, they're going to throw me out of here. I was like, I'd like to see your first class ticket. Do you belong here? How is there a black man in first class? He didn't think it was funny. I didn't.
Oh, Stephanie.
I didn't really say that. He was delightful, and he's going to come on the show. He has a new TV thing, a, you know, documentary thing.
Oh, good.
He's out here interviewing Kevin Bacon.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
I'd like to see your first class ticket. See, I didn't believe you. Because, see, the police didn't... 29 minutes after the hour. Comedian Jimmy Tingle next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So cute, and she's so smart. But her last boyfriend had to get a restraining order against her, and then his cat and new vacuum cleaner both went missing.
It's me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Mama loves it. You will, too. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. Oh, by the by, I was a great piece last week by Ronald Brownstein in the L.A. Times about the this whole debt, whatever's going on, this ridiculous hostage crisis that we have that's ongoing with the
right.
Flavin and the Flarvin. The president's carny, by the way, on that. Really.
The president continues to insist that we should push for the biggest possible deficit reduction package, that a unique opportunity is presenting itself here for the United States to do something historic, working together, Democrats and Republicans, to significantly reduce our deficit, get our debt under control, and position ourselves for a competition, an economic competition globally that will be quite stiff.
He's calling their bluff. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'm ready to do deficit reduction, are you? And, you know, they're missing in action as usual. Anyway, Ronald Brownstein, the Republicans' historic bulk, he just, it's good every now and again, someone that just puts things in perspective historically, so we understand. He writes, House Speaker John Boehner said this week, he insisted the American people understand that tax hikes destroy jobs. No, they don't. In fact, there is simply no evidence that every tax cut creates jobs or that every tax increase destroys them. That's the big lesson of the last three decades.
That's right.
I mean, that's the thing. How do you even have a discussion unless you pay attention to what's been happening and what policies have worked and what haven't? And again, this is not all partisan. This is not all just, you know, a Democratic sort of talking point. He says by the fourth year after Reagan signed the tax cut, the economy had created 6.3 million new jobs, an increase of 6.8%. 8 years on, there were 16.5 million new jobs, up 18%. Sounds like a good case for tax cuts. But the economy produced even more jobs after President Clinton raised taxes on the wealthy in 1993, 4 years after Clinton's tax increase, which GOP opponents denounced as a certain job killer. You can go back, Chris, play the same sound bites.
Right.
Job killing, tax hikes. Okay. The economy had produced 11.8 million new jobs, an increase of nearly 11%. 8 years after the tax increase, the economy had added 20.6 million jobs, up 18.6%. It's not just that you sort of think things were better under Clinton. They were better.
That's right. Yeah.
Measured in both absolute and percentage terms, the economy produced more jobs after Clinton raised them than after Reagan cut them. Then after George W. Bush's huge 2001 tax cut, the economy recorded its most dismal decade for job creation since the Depression. 8 years after Bush signed his cut, nearly 1.6 million fewer Americans were at work. These are just numbers, Chris. In the last three decades, job growth has thrived after tax cuts and after tax increases. It has also stagnated after tax cuts. If there's a pattern, it's that tax policy typically isn't the decisive factor in driving a machine as complex as the U.S. economy. Given those precedents, tax policy ought to be seen not as the secret to growth, but more modestly as one part of the fiscal policy toolbox. This is good stuff. Pay attention. This is all going to be on the test. All going to be on the test. I see your eyes glassing over there. I'm almost done. And on that front, the case against including some revenue in a comprehensive deficit reduction package is even weaker. Federal revenue as a share of the overall economy is at its lowest level since 1950. That was not only before Medicare and Medicaid, but also before the interstate highway system. Especially as our society ages, Washington will need significantly more revenue to support even the minimal level of government that most Americans will accept. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ronald Brownstein. Look at the polls. People don't want Medicare destroyed and turned into a voucher program so that rich people can keep these historic tax cuts. It's, you know, again, it's not one or the other. We need revenue and we need to reduce some of our costs. And that's what the president's trying to do. And the you know, Republicans, as usual, are just history, math. I don't
whatever.
La, la, la. We can't hear you.
It means nothing to them.
Yeah.
They just want to bow down to their corporate overlords.
It's the question I keep asking over and over that just makes me insane. They've had these Bush tax cuts. We have. Did you hear that? The worst job creation since the Great Depression.
Yep.
Under the Bush tax cuts, these last however many, whatever, 10 years. How do you take that and go, well, we need to do more of that? Because clearly... All right, the President's Carney.
Every responsible leader on Capitol Hill agrees with the President that we cannot let the United States default on its obligations for the first time in its history. We must pursue a fallback or last ditch option, if you will. And conversations about that have been ongoing. Obviously, Senator McConnell has taken the lead in that to a measure that would allow the debt ceiling to be raised. And that continues. Those conversations continue, too.
Yeah. So here's the good news. Oops, that's not what I meant to hit. I meant to hit that. Poll, 71% shun GOP handling of debt crisis. So we are not alone here in going, what a bunch of asshats and douche nozzles the Republicans are being over this whole thing. And first of all, they can't even agree on that, Chris. The whole, well, I don't know if not raising the debt ceiling is going to lead to default of any kind. What? What? Any credible economist in the world will take... Try that at your house. Oh, yeah, don't raise the debt. We'll see if anything bad happens.
It couldn't be more black
and white.
What do you
mean, I don't really believe that that's going to lead to some sort of default or worldwide financial...
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah, try that in your own household. See how that works for you. Yeah, that was the... the headline, Republicans. I mean, the problem is people just, and Republicans know this, they just hate, end up hating Washington, mm-hmm. hating everybody because, I'm sorry, Republicans do share the lion's share of the blame here, and at least the polling's showing that. Republicans in Congress fare the worst. Just 21% back their resistance to raising taxes.
Yeah.
Who are they fighting for? President Obama earned the most generous approval ratings for his handling of the weeks-old negotiations, but still, I mean, still, well, the numbers are 43% approve, 48% disapprove. So, but Democrats in Congress, 31% approve, 58% disapprove. Republicans, though, 21% approve, 71% disapprove. So, you know, and that's why I think in the end they're backing down and they just look like idiots, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, Jim DeMint and his little junior DeMints. headline, debt ceiling debate will show if Tea Party is still a force. See if you take your lace panties off and bow down to the Kathy Derrs of the world.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Stop being noodleback.
Yeah. Durr.
Kathy Durr.
And her name is actually Kathy Durr.
Yep.
She's a Tea Party leader, please and thank you. some people just so aptly named.
I know.
It tickles one.
Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. The debate over increasing the debt ceiling will show whether the Tea Party still has influence, according to Senator Jim DeMint, who hates Yertle the Turtle with a passion.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell. We're going to see, this is what I keep saying. They need to finish the fight between the Tea Party and the Republican Party, and then let us know when they're ready to eat their peas and come to the table and be friggin' adults.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying.
They do. Every single one of them sounds like a petulant child.
They do, exactly. I don't, Eric Cantor, why? Why can't I have my way all the time? We're going to find out if the Tea Party is still there in force in the next few weeks on this debt limit increase. We're trying to recruit Americans right now. There's a website, cutcapbalancepledge.com. He's urging people to...
That's a bit clunky. I think they need to workshop that, that URL.
That's a little doughy.
Yeah.
He's been one of the most outspoken opponents of the backup plan for increasing the debt ceiling unveiled by Senate Minority Leader Mitch McLiplis on Friday. DeMint pledged to use every tool in the Senate to stop McConnell's plan. Or distract him with a lettuce leaf or something. Or lock him in his terrarium so he can't go forward with his evil plot to avoid worldwide financial catastrophe. All right. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
I ask what it will take to get my Republican colleagues to wake up to the fact that they're playing a game of political chicken with the entire global economy.
And Yertle himself, Mitch McLiplis.
Washington needs strong medicine to heal its spending addiction now.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
I'm sorry, just his pronunciation alone. It's sort of, you can
hear it again?
Yeah, you can hear the lack of either lips or chin.
Washington needs strong medicine to heal its spending addiction now.
It's just, I don't, everything below his nose, it just kind of, I don't know what that is. It just sort of hangs there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't seem that functional. Okay. I'm just saying.
There's a character on Futurama with just like things hanging down from its from his nose. That's kind of what Mitch McConnell has.
Like the car wash, like stuff like in the car wash.
Yeah.
Something just
hanging there.
Things.
It keeps his chin clean.
Noodly appendages.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, what's it there for?
I don't know. That's my point. Senator John Kyle, Republican, Arizona.
If the president keeps insisting on raising taxes on American workers, there's not going to be a deal.
Blah, 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 blah. People get it that it's only the top 1%.
Yes.
2%, whatever. Representative Louis Gohmert, he's a Gohmert.
Yeah.
He is a Gohmert.
He is.
Republican of Texas.
I can't help and be a little cynical here because, you know, we find out the president has a big birthday bash scheduled for August the 3rd. Celebrities flying in from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, August 2nd is the deadline for getting something done so that he can have this massive, maybe the biggest fundraising dinner in history for
a
birthday
minute.
Celebration. Isn't that amazing, the timing?
Wow, wait a minute. So when the president was being born in Kenya, he planned his birthday to be August 3rd.
Yeah.
Which weirdly just happens to be the day after August 2nd, which is the deadline for the debt ceiling.
Yeah. And
oh
the third
God.
Is Ramadan.
It's like he has some sort of Kenyan DeLorean that he went back in time, or he went forward in time to make the debt ceiling deadline be. Like, that's a coincidence.
They're crazy.
Did he just say that?
Yeah, he did.
The president, that's the president's actual birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's, okay.
But
well,
he said that to Newsmax, which is the news of the world of the right wing. So,
yes.
You know.
Yes. Well, okay.
Uh-huh.
Good job there. Good journalism. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God he blew the lid off that one.
Woo!
The president's whole birthday conspiracy. Okay, 40, kind of a little winded. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number to join the party from anywhere. Ian Millhiser is a legal animus, you know.
You keep saying that.
Uh-huh.
That is not.
Political policy analyst, blogger for the Center for American Progress.
And his Twitter feed says he's a constitutional law guy. I know, right?
You can get cards printed anywhere. All right. Ian Millhiser joins us now. I love this. The way Chris wrote it is to discuss the debt ceiling and the latest antics of the GOP's whack interpretation of the Constitution.
That sounds about right, actually.
That's a fancy legal word, whack.
Yeah.
whack is the technical term.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was the only one that noticed this, Ian, because as you point out so rightly, it's happened a number of times. Anytime something happens Republicans don't like, you know, politically, they say it's unconstitutional. Like, you can just interpret that however you feel like.
Yeah, no, it really is amazing. You know, and even when it's one of their own party members' sakes that they don't like, you know, they don't like the so-called McConnell plan to get us through the debt ceiling crisis because it doesn't blow up the entire government in the process.
Yeah.
And so Sarah Palin comes right out and says, oh, well, I don't like this. It doesn't blow up the government, so it must be unconstitutional. It's not like they even bother to read the Constitution. They just see something they don't like and say the Constitution must be against it.
Yeah, you say, and I love how you write this, Mitch McConnell offered what may be the most concise summary of conservative constitutionalism ever spoken. America must rewrite the Constitution to force conservative outcomes because we, the people, consistently elect lawmakers who disagree with McConnell. He actually said the Constitution must be amended to keep the government in check. We've tried persuasion. We've tried negotiation. We've tried elections. Nothing has worked.
Yeah, no, they were talking about their so-called balanced budget amendment there.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be clear, the balanced budget amendment really should be called the slash burn and repeal Medicare amendment, because that's really what we have going on here. What it does, you know, it does require a balanced budget, but it also makes it nearly impossible to raise taxes. And if you think that's a good plan, look at the shape that California's been in since they did the same thing there.
I was just going to say, modeled after California's anti-tax amendment, it completely blew up our finances, as you say. It also would require spending cuts so steep it would have made Ronald Reagan's fiscal policy unconstitutional, as you say, Ezra Klein points out. He calls the plan the worst idea in Washington, and that's saying something.
It's saying a lot. And actually, I Ezra and I were being too kind to the program when we pointed out the Reagan connection. It would actually require a return to 1966 levels of spending. You know, Paul Ryan's budget, the House GOP budget that phases out Medicare, that budget would be unconstitutional under this amendment. So that's what Mitch McConnell's talked about when he's saying elections hasn't worked. He's saying people keep electing governments that will allow us to still have Medicare and still have a functioning government, and we've got to fix that.
Well, I love how you do a history of this. The Affordable Care Act. In 2008, elections didn't work because the people elected Barack Obama and gave him the majorities he needed to comprehensively reform the healthcare system. So conservatives immediately said this is, they have this completely fabricated constitutional argument saying it's unconstitutional, right, healthcare?
Right.
Entirely.
And, The one piece of good news there, the wheels are slowly starting to come off the bus. You know, the argument against the Affordable Care Act is something no one had ever heard of before until 2009. The government, the idea that the government can't tell you what to do sounds nice, but the government makes you pay taxes and it can draft you, so it can also say, hey, go get health insurance. You know, the good news is that the wheels are starting to get, are starting to come off the bus there, because we just had Judge Sutton, this very, very conservative judge, look at this argument and say, this is garbage. And if you get Scalia's former clerk, if you get someone who's been on the short list as a Republican nominee to the Supreme Court, and even he says this is garbage, it ain't going anywhere.
Well, I mean, then you go on to talk about killing Medicaid and Medicare, which, you know, again, the duly elected Lyndon Johnson, and trust me, duly elected because he beat my dad in Goldwater by a couple of votes.
Just a few.
But, you know, he enacts Medicare and Medicaid, so Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, would take away the American people's ability to benefit from this law. He claims the Constitution must be reinterpreted so the federal government, quote, can't do anything at all about health care. I mean,
right.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, he's even gone for, you know, Senator Lee hasn't just said that all health care, that includes Medicare, Medicaid, SCHIP, what have you, is unconstitutional. He's also said that all retirement laws are unconstitutional. So there goes your Social Security.
Yeah.
Sorry, Grandma.
Yeah, screw you, Grandma.
Exactly. So, you know, this is the kind of thing we're dealing with here, where, you know, I look at the Constitution, sensible people look at the Constitution, and they see a democracy. You know, they see something where we can elect our leaders, and our leaders get to decide, you know, whether we have the laws that benefit seniors, whether we have health care laws,
right,
whether we have all these things we've depended upon. They see the Constitution, they say, oh, we can just use this as an axe to chop away the stuff we don't like.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what you brought up. Rand Paul was sort of startling, that he would basically reinterpret the Constitution to make Civil Rights Act of 1964 unconstitutional and bring back whites-only lunch counters.
That doesn't seem to promote the general welfare to me.
It's very bizarre, this idea they have. You know, if you look at what Rand Paul said there, he was saying, well, you know, these are private industries, and we have to protect private industries because, like, somehow they're sacred or something.
Because you can just
like
go
that
outside and be black. It's like, you know, it's like being secondhand black. You don't have to stay in the lunch counter and get it all on everybody else, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, if you don't like the fact that this business won't serve, you can always just change your skin color. So it's
sure
not that big
yeah
a deal.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I know this stuff, you know, we call ourselves progressive, but they really are regressives. I mean, Mike Lee also disagrees with the outcome of the, you know, not letting, putting children to work, basically, would rethink the Constitution to make child labor laws unconstitutional.
Yeah,
get back in those coal mines, you lazy little bastards. I mean, seriously, it's just, you know, you can't really believe what you're hearing, can you?
No, I mean, what they're really talking about is a wholesale rollback of the 20th century. You know, there was a time when child labor laws were considered unconstitutional. There was a case in the 19-teens which said that, and we realized what a disaster that was. You know, it was a human rights crisis when the Supreme Court said this, and we've moved past that.
Yep.
They now want to turn back the clock 100 years.
And let's finish with, you know, supporting education programs. Numerous members of Congress believe all federal education funding, from Pell Grants to federal student loans to public school funding, must be eliminated entirely because, as Tom Coburn said, I don't think education is a role for the federal government. If you read the Constitution, I mean, it really, that is a stunning interpretation, isn't it?
It is absolutely stunning. And I mean, I guess I should lay out some of, like, you know, the actual technicalities of why they're wrong here. So for any government spending, the Constitution says that government has the ability to tax and to spend money to promote the general welfare. Education promotes the general welfare. Mm-hmm. Social Security promotes the general welfare. Medicare promotes the general welfare. This isn't hard.
Right.
So any kind of spending program, that's up to our elected leaders. If you don't like Medicare, you can vote for someone who's going to repeal it, but you can't just wave your hand and pretend the Constitution makes it go away.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Ian, sorry, we're out of time. Boy, we got to have you back to get your take on the whole Murdoch scandal
yeah
as well. So we will talk to you again very soon, I hope.
Well, I will look forward to that.
All right. All right. Thank you, sir. Ian Millhiser of the Center for American Progress. We continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, is this in honor of Rupert Murdoch, who is currently testifying? Listener Mike in Raleigh has sent a lying sack of crap in the style of...
Kansas.
Sure.
Your lying sack of crap. Scheming, stinking sack of crap. Nasty sack of liquid crap. Lying sack of crap.
Woo! Ow! Thank you, Mike.
Let me. Thought I said it to Waltzing Matilda.
Hey, Jim, how about that guy that just turned up dead? That whistleblower.
Oh, you conspiracy theorist.
That's crazy.
It's always Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone from the book depository.
Sure.
Everybody knows that.
The main whistleblower of the Rupert Murdoch scandal. Dead.
Oh, that
turned
never
up dead.
Happens.
Turned up
it's
dead.
It's an accident.
Nothing suspicious here.
There are some rumors
guys have
on,
accidents.
On the internet saying that he was poisoned.
Yeah, guys like that get clumsy. Yeah, yeah, they think they're going for a bottle of scotch. Turns out to be rat poison. How appropriate for a rat.
Let's listen. He's testifying now. Rupert is.
Yes. Can I also ask you, Mr. Mugg?
And my family who went there many times.
Have you ever imposed any...
Oh, isn't he charming and rakish?
...a party leader in the UK before giving them the support of your newspapers?
I've never guaranteed anyone the support of our newspapers.
I can't understand you with that crazy accent.
We had been supporting the Thatcher government, the Conservative government that followed, and we felt it had got tired, and we changed and supported the Labour Party, whenever it was, 13 years ago, with the direct loss of 200,000 circulation.
Did you ever impose any preconditions on either the Labour Party
or
the Conservative Party? No preconditions whatsoever.
No, I'm not partisan in any way. What?
I had with them, with Mr. Blair, I remember, were arguing about the euro.
Well, Mr. Blair visited you.
Right, I'm had enough of him already.
No, it's interesting that hearings before Parliament are a lot more contentious than our hearings before Congress.
Absolutely.
Here.
Oh, well, the gentlemen are my good friends.
Yeah, there's none of that in the UK. There's a lot of contentiousness.
Are you a right bastard or not?
Listen, you smack. Answer the question.
I wish we had that here.
Yeah, exactly.
Answer the question, you bastard.
I wish ours were more like those Asian countries where they get into fisticuffs quite regularly.
It's not just Asian countries.
No, it's the Ukrainian part of
it. Yeah, I mean, imagine how hard it would be to pop Mitch McConnell in the chin. You'd have to find it first. It's almost impossible.
How would you know you gave him a bloody lip?
Hold still, you bunch of car wash.
That's my primary defense. Apart from my shell, my face is made of silly putty.
Jim, we discussed that earlier. It just seems like nothing below his nose is really functional.
He's made of silly putty. There's no interior skeletal structure at all.
That's true. It is like silly putty. Like, I want to redo it.
Well,
because I'm a helper. I want to redo it. I want to mold it into something
papers.
A little... Yeah, exactly.
And he'd come up looking like Popeye.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Popeye the Sailor Man.
Or
Popeye the Sailor Man.
Or Andy Cap.
All right, kids, everybody, thank you, Boston. I love you. We had such a great time Saturday night. And by the way, we're very excited. Aisha Tyler is out sick today, unfortunately. But joining Sexy Liberal in place of Hal, who will be in Edinburgh in August. Santa Fe coming up Saturday, August 6th. Two shows. We're so excited. And Detroit, Saturday, August 20th. And it rolls on. Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Lots of great new pictures up from Boston and et cetera. Let's see, Dave in Boston writes, hey, Mama, so great to meet you and do my Chris Farley impression for you twice at the restaurant and at the meet and grip. I know that guy.
Meet and grip?
Meet and grope. It was. He was very cute. It was one time, remember you said that one thing, and then Chris says, and then Jim says? I loved him.
That was awesome!
Oh. Many things I wanted to say. I was too tongue-tied, like how important all y'all's voices, well, mine and then you guys to a lesser extent, sure.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And how I feel like Stephanie from Madison and Eric the Happy Black Man and Sue from Rockville and Mary from Long Island and Lavender Pit and so many more are my family. My family. Say hi for me, okay? Hi, family.
Hi, family.
Stephanie Miller family. How we wouldn't know we were in such a great, huge, fabulous family. Dysfunctional, a little bit, but still. If not for you and Mook Central. Love you, Steph Dave in Boston. The official Zen Shiatsu therapist of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey. Next time you're in town, I'll give you all your favorite points a good poke.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, wow, thanks, Dave. I'm forward to a good poke. Thanks.
That's not what I mean. It's Shiatsu.
Been a while, hasn't it?
Okay, let's see. Scott in Somerville, Somerset. Somerville, Massachusetts.
Somerville.
Sexy Liberal Boston. Hey, Steph, lucky enough to be able to attend the Sexy Liberal Tour when it hit Boston past Saturday. I got a chance to meet you all at the Grope. I thoroughly enjoyed the show, especially the sexting bit you did when you grabbed some guy's iPhone and drove it home.
Huh.
I don't know about you. If I were that guy, I'd never wash that phone again. And the teabagging demonstration you did with Hal Sparks will be forever burnt in my subconscious. Caution, the Sexy Liberal Tour may require some psychotherapeutic follow-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. As they say in Boston, you guys were wicked pissa.
I was going to say, wicked it was pissa. Wicked pissa.
Wicked pissa.
Sound like the show was wicked
smart,
pizza.
Wicked retarded.
Wicked smart.
Little Boston Tea Party, my pants. Lots of folks was invited. All right. Oh, and we got Jim. This is for you. It's a complaint letter. Steph, I share your disdain for Dick Morris. He is an elitist right-wing hack, and by some accounts, he also is profoundly sexist. There are many reasons not to like this man, but I ask you, please stop attacking him for his foot fetish. It may surprise you to know that many of your devout progressive listeners have foot fetishes, and we are not deviants. Please bring an end to your personal attacks on Mr. Morris.
I don't think that necessarily having a foot fetish means you eat prostitute toenails, which is not advisable.
No, Tom, we are not mocking all people with foot fetishes. We are mocking what? One giant Republican hypocritical.
Yes.
Because it's the family values, blah, party that criticized Bill Clinton. And that was the reason we bring up he frequently needs to spit out prostitute toenails in order to speak. And not because we have any. I used to have a whole foot fetish family.
Yeah, I was about ready to say, you're very kind to your foot fetish people.
I wonder if they're still out there. Remember when I had the late night TV show, they're like, could you just take your shoe off for a minute in the opening monologue?
And you did.
And I did.
Wow.
Oh, are you kidding? I pandered to my foot fetish fan club. When I had the,
what other kind of?
It's hard to do that on political TV now because there's not a reason to generally just stick your foot up into frame because generally you're just in the little box, just your head.
Yeah, you have your jammies on below the waist.
Funny though, next time I'm on Ed Schultz, just one little foot comes up. See if he notices.
Are you practicing yoga over there? What is that?
What the hell? Anyway, we apologize. The Stephanie Miller Show apologizes to all the foot fetishes that are our audience.
Do it for the Ustream.
What?
Put your leg up.
Oh, okay, that's my UGG.
Okay, take your foot off. Take your shoe off. Take your shoe off.
Actually, I know someone who could do that.
There you go.
Ooh, I have a new pedicure.
Ooh, look at that. Very nice.
All right, that was good radio. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2-2-0-NUMBER.
They are turned on in the chat room.
David in Washington State. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hello. Guys are so funny this morning. Hey, not much has been mentioned about the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. I mean, because once it... Don't you think that once the investigation shifts over to the United States, I mean, which Senate committee would it be in? The Intelligence Committee or what? But anyways, once it's found out that they broke that law and hacked into politicians and everybody, isn't Fox, they're finished.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. This scandal, David, as I said, Jim, it just keeps getting worser and worser. Questions hang over Murdoch and USA. This is from The Guardian. The spreading contagion may show up the cracks in News Corp's vast American media holdings. Because
yep.
I think it started out people going, oh, no, that's just open.
Oh, it's completely isolated.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's water between them. You know, nothing can possibly. What?
There's water there.
Huh?
It doesn't pass through water. Corruption. I love this on The Guardian. To accuse Rupert Murdoch of shedding crocodile tears with his head and hands apology to the family of Millie Dowler in his widely printed apology over the weekend would be an insult to honest crocodiles everywhere.
Yeah.
The contagion affecting News Corp has spread rapidly in the U.S. The FBI is investigating potential criminal hacking of the voicemails of victims of the 9/11 attacks. Lawmakers and grassroots groups are also calling for an investigation into whether the bribing of police was a violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, as our caller just brought up. Mm-hmm. As News Corp is a U.S. corporation registered in the business-friendly state of Delaware, even bribery abroad could lead to felony charges. Felony charges. Slowly I turned. We were talking earlier in this piece in The Guardian, it covers Glenn Beck being linked to, you know, actual violence. Byron Williams, you know, going and shooting up the Tides Foundation and the ACLU, it, basically saying it's Glenn Beck told me to. Bill O'Reilly, Guardian writes, castigated one of the only medical doctors in Kansas who performed abortions. George Tiller is Tiller the baby killer, at least 29 occasions. Dr. Tiller, of course, shot in the head in church.
In church.
Yeah. I think Bill O'Reilly is directly responsible for that.
News Corp stock down in the wake of the scandal, potentially embarrassing revelations about 9/11 victims looming as the 10th anniversary nears. A reinvigorated campaign to shut off advertising dollars could disrupt Murdoch's hold on his vast U.S. media holdings. Murdoch is sorry that he got caught.
I'm shocked to find this gambling going on in this establishment. I have no idea.
David Cameron, by the way, the Prime Minister in England. David
Cameron. The Metropolitan Police Service inquiry must go wherever the evidence leads. They should investigate without fear or favor.
Bloody pommy bastard.
I don't know that he actually said that.
I don't probably think he did that.
Okay. All right. Tony in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tony.
Hey. Well, I was looking at HuffPost the other day, reading things, and I felt this extraordinary pressure on my left eardrum. Turns out my brain was trying to escape. Because I was reading about Herman Cain, who apparently now believes that Islam, because it is both religion and law, in and of itself violates the First Amendment of separation of church and state and can be banned. I think he's single-handedly trying to make Michelle Bachmann seem as rational, serene, and wise as Michelle Obama.
Yeah, exactly. What are you motioning over there?
Well, we have that in right-wing world, him saying that about the mosques.
Well, let's have it then.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not in charge here.
Okay.
Islam is both a religion and a set of laws, Sharia law. That's the difference between any one of our other traditional religions where it's just about religious purposes. The people in the community know best. And I happen to side with the people in the community.
So you're saying any community, if they want to ban a mosque?
Yes, they have the right to do that.
Whoa!
That's not discriminating based upon religion their particular religion. That is an aspect of them building that mosque that doesn't get talked about. Mm-hmm. And the people in the community know what it is and they're talking about it.
All right.
Okay. And in addition of, oh, yes, he did. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, yes, he did. He went there on the magic Mormon underpants. Mitt Romney. Oh, yes, he did. You got some splaining to do, Mitt Romney. We'll be back with that. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everything everyone just said is either obvious or wrong.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She's crafting. She gets around. She's crafting. She's always down. She's crafting. Got it cracked. She's crafting. And she's just my type. She's crafting.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ian in Massachusetts. You are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Ian, you are the Boston Sexy Liberal.
Yes, we were, and we had a great time. I was there with my wife and daughter were there. You met Delenn. She's the one that sings the Lying Sack of Crap song.
Yes, you brought it after the show. It's the
Lying Sack of Crap.
Yay!
The Lying Sack of Crap.
Yes. She is adorable, and she sang it for me in person.
Oh, she had a great time. Everyone there was like, oh, you're the little girl who sings a Lying Sack of Crap song. You know you're famous, don't you?
You know what your wife said, though? Because she said, oh, I just brought her in after the show to meet you. And she goes, I came in a little early, though, during the teabagging demonstration with Hal. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
So she had a little splaining to do. She's like, oh, honey, let's go back out for a minute, and then we'll come back for the...
Well, she's considerably older now. That was a long time ago.
No, she's a little girl still. How old is she?
Yeah, she's she's 9.
So it's 5 years ago.
Oh, wow. Oh, so now the Sexy Liberal Show is 9.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I would not have actually brought her to the actual show.
Right.
Yes, I understand. I was like, wow, who's the bad parent out there?
There were a few hours when our babysitter had fallen through, and my wife's like, oh, well, just give her the iPad, and she'll watch a movie on the iPad, and she won't know what's going on.
She won't know what's happening.
No, I've heard about the show. No.
You're a good parent, Ian.
She's adorable, too. It was really sweet to meet her. I think I ovulated, and those eggs have been dead for a while, so... Thank you.
And also you put my cell phone in your pants.
I did. Oh, God. We're just one big happy family. I'm corrupting every single one of you. God bless me.
You did not actually take a picture, though.
Oh, it didn't. Oh, oops. My bad.
So
I forgot to smile.
Daddy, why is that lady putting your phone in her pants?
I was cleaning it.
She wasn't there for that.
All right. Thank you, Ian. Thanks
you
for coming.
Thank you, Steph.
And it went off.
Yeah. There was a light on that phone that was broken. I was taking it to my pants to fix it there, and then I was going to bring it back there. Why, little Cindy Lou Who? What?
What are you doing here?
You're lying.
Okay, Joe Wowie, that whole family, yikes. Joe in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
You the best, you know that?
Thank you, honey.
Hey, I got a question. I was wondering, why isn't it that Fox News reporting anything that had to do with this Rupert Murdoch?
It's that's weird.
They were all over the Acorn stuff, and they looped it until they shut it down. But all of a sudden, they can't go with this conspiracy thing like they always do.
Well, because there are no black people involved. That's clearly right.
Yeah, there's no video of scary black people. That's the difference.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yep.
I mean, but they made that up anyway. So,
yeah.
But I got a question. I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
Why you think it's like this thing with, since Ronald Reagan came to office, why do they stop showing all the health food commercials on TV now? They replaced them with all McDonald's and all that, and now all these kids are getting all these diabetes and stuff like this at an early age. Why do you think that is? They don't show any health food commercials anymore on TV.
Yeah, and then, Michelle Obama is the bad guy on Fox News for pointing out that, your kids might want
to
eat a carrot
stick. Eat our peas.
Move a little bit.
You're not my mom. Shut up. These whiny, petulant little bitches, the Republicans.
Jim Louise Warren. That is so true. All right. All right. I was saying before the break, yes, he did. Herman Cain went there. He got up all in Mitt Romney's Mormon underpants.
I don't believe he can win. I know the South, and you have to win the South. The reason that he will have a difficult time winning the South is because when he ran the first time, he did not do a good job of communicating his religion. Unfortunately, it doesn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
But I do know that it's an issue with a lot of Southerners.
Wow. Yes, he did. He went there. I see. He didn't explain it right.
No.
The whole, Mormon thing.
Yeah, that's why he's losing.
Well, Michelle Bachman says he's not a Christian.
No, she's a God warrior, and he is not a Christian. And apparently...
I'm a God warrior!
Dark-sided. Like the gays.
I'm very dark-sided. Woof, woof.
Woof, woof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have... by the way, we have some audio of her. We come back praying for this anti-gay ministry in 2006.
Yes. Oh, it's...
I thought the world was going to end. She said we were in the last days in 2006 because of the gays.
Yeah, the end of days.
You gays need to be... Come on! Step it up, for God's sakes.
The gays are just being fashionably late.
Being lazy. 20 minutes after the hour. I got my rapture helmet. Let's go. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's super hot and she's so successful, but she has a pug that she pushes around in a stroller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Somebody just sent me a picture from the Boston Sexy Liberal Show. It's me first realizing that I was meeting Charlie Pierce. And I look like I have just seen Jesus.
And you had no idea what he looked like,
no,
did you?
No, he said, I'm Charlie Pierce, and I was the look of
there's
sheer
only one
joy
man now
on
that understands.
And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Whoa.
Why's everybody always laughing?
And now my drinking buddy.
Hey.
Hi, Chalapius.
That was fun.
that was way fun. I and mostly enjoyed knocking a few back with you at the W afterwards.
At the W Hotel. That's right. That's right. We were looking for WMDs under the cushions.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, people
were.
You know
what the great thing about W Hotels is? They can't figure out the check.
I love your
card.
I love when I can't believe we didn't know you were there until after the show, and then literally
I was just incognito up in the balcony. By the way, that was deliberate because I saw that thong.
Yeah. Oh no.
Then it was a mob scene.
I would have dressed up as an usher rather than avoid that thing.
Then it was a mob scene. People were like, "Bears!" It was revered. Who was revered, as they say.
Paul revered.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, great to meet you and your lovely wife. And,
Thank you. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. It was also great to see Fugelsang and Sparks in their day jobs. They're both very funny people.
Indeed. Who knew? They are hilarious.
Well, I guess I knew because they made careers out of it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know.
And, of course, the great thing that we mentioned, and I mentioned this to John yesterday, we were working a mere three blocks from where Chris Lavoie used to work in high school.
That's right.
At the, where was this now?
Strawberry's Records in Downtown Crossing.
Oh, isn't that?
Right across the street from Filene's.
That was the job, just for those of you keeping track, I think before when he wore the Lederhosen?
No, that was after
I wore the Lederhosen. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Strawberry's was a chain of record stores that went crashingly into the ground.
Yes.
Largely because they were, as I recall, the owner was associated somehow with the mob.
What?
Yeah, he was associated with the mob and the New Kids on the Block.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think he went to jail over the New Kids.
I think he did, too.
Wow. Well, you know what? Chris Lavoie's life, Charlie, just been one downhill spiral.
And yeah, and now I'm here.
Now here he is.
It's an experiment in terror.
Worse than Strawberry Records.
It's Stephanie Miller.
It's Jim. So, Charlie.
Strawberry Records and Lost My Cherry Radio. Okay.
Charlie, obviously you are in Romney country there.
I am.
We were,
he's
I think.
Raising a lot. We still think of him fondly because his barely discernible leadership is, you know.
Well, because that's when he was, of course, pro-choice, pro-gay, and pro-healthcare reform.
He was gayer than Ted Kennedy.
Exactly.
What?
But we were
that's
just,
what he said. He was going to be better on gay issues than Ted Kennedy.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, so we were just saying that Herman Cain, oh, yes, he did. He went there. He said Mitt Romney didn't explain his religion well enough to the South. That's why he's not going to win.
Well, I'm not giving, you know, Herman Cain any credit for sanity that he may not have, but he's sort of right. That's why Mitt Romney has trouble in the South. I mean, you heard it from the Fox anchor over the weekend. He's not a real Christian, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only is he a real Christian, Mormons are really interesting Christians. They think Jesus went to, like, Tahiti. Jesus gets a much better break in the Book of Mormon than he does in the New Testament.
Yeah, that is true.
He goes to Kansas. He goes to Tahiti. He's getting around. He's piling up the miles.
All right.
If he ever flies back to, like, Golgotha, he's going for free.
Yeah. So speaking of bad presidential candidates, so this is Michelle Bachmann praying for an anti-gay ministry in 2006. Take a listen, Charlie. Here we go. Michelle Bachmann.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You are Jehovah God. We know that the times are in your hands, and we give them to you. The day is at hand, Lord, when your return will come nigh. Nothing is more important than bringing sheep into the fold, than bringing new life into the kingdom. You have weeded that garden, and the harvest is at hand.
Well, if you bring sheep into the garden and you've already weeded the garden, isn't the sheep going to eat the flowers?
Yeah,
right.
Because there's nothing left to eat. Boy,
she is the weed wacky, that's for sure.
By the way, does she think God is like a 2.5-year-old boy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because she's sort of talking to him like, you told you to God. Isn't he cute? What kind of...
No more cookies for you, God.
You are Jehovah God.
Well, that was for the notoriously anti-gay ministry, You Can Run But You Can't Hide.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy who wants to throw people in jail and kill them, right?
Yes.
The guy with the really long hair? The guy who
Bradley Dean. He has been
for a metal band?
He's been described as Bachman's Jeremiah Wright since his radical statements pose a political problem. He has repeatedly called for gays and lesbians to be put in prison and has said executing gays is moral.
Okay,
and
then.
And not only that, he looks like the Sebastian Bach of crazy preachers.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, what's she calling? She calls him Jehovah God?
Yeah.
That sounds like the thing that would be on the mailing labels of God's magazine when the computer screws up. Yeah. You know how they all screw up your name? Jehovah God.
Wait, they're not good at predictions or math.
Hold on one second. I didn't want Woman's Day. Who ordered this?
They're not good at predictions or math, are they? That was in 2006. We were in the end of days,
well,
for God's sake.
I'll tell you what. There are a lot of last days. They don't tell you that.
Yeah.
There are a great number of last days. Yeah. We're about a quarter of the way through the last days.
Yeah. By the way,
so,
Chris,
so there's plenty of weeding and sheeping to do.
Please continue to keep your organ out for us, won't you? Because in yet another presidential religious story, Texas Governor Rick Perry, Charlie, says he feels increasingly called to run for president. Why? A governor of Texas to think God wants him to be president. How could that go wrong?
There's absolutely nothing that can go wrong with that. It's not like we haven't tried it before.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I hate to say it, but this guy makes the other guy look like the Israeli.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He said, I've been getting more and more comfortable every day. This is what I've been called to do. This is what America needs.
Well, didn't he...
God's like, no, not that governor of Texas. I meant him. You idiot.
Didn't he walk that back later saying that there might be other things he's being called to do? There are many things to be called. Weed, you know, you mow the lawn, do the dishes, put the seat down. God's calling you to do that stuff.
Maybe I actually create jobs in Texas before you start on.
Well,
he
can't do that without without more stimulus money.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. It continues to be a crazy train, doesn't it, Charlie? The Republican field.
I mean, it's tremendous. That you know, listening to Michelle Bachmann talk to God like a toddler, that's tremendous. I mean, I thought Marcus was the weirdest sounding guy in that family.
Yeah. Now, gentle, settle, God, settle.
You are. We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Oh. sheep need to be brought into the garden. By the way, you know, this is off topic a little bit, but I did figure out the mystery of Eric Cantor over the weekend.
Oh, you did?
You know who Eric Cantor is? Hmm. Eric Cantor is the kid in high school who nobody likes but whose parents have the swimming pool.
You said that to me Saturday. Just be nice to him. He's a twerp, but his dad's got a pool.
You know, it's February and he's in a closed room with him, but you know what? In July, we're really going to have to like him again.
I know what? I just pictured a teenager Cantor. Wait, guys, I got a pool.
Playing pool?
You know, running up behind him a little bit. Guys.
That's only, and they only had friends in the hot months. In the winter, you guys want to come over? No. Unless it's an ice skating rink now, no. So I love the, by the way, so we talked about this, the fundraising. Gingrich owes money. His campaign's in debt, frankly.
Absent the line of credit, how is that possible for a political campaign to owe somebody money?
Yeah.
Are people like demanding refunds? Boy, this guy's a terrible candidate. Shoot, I want my money back.
Yeah, he's beset, of course, by resignations of top aides, owes more than $450,000 to an air charter company for travel, almost $50,000 to himself, accounting for about half of the $1 million in debt reported to the FEC.
Mitt can sue himself.
Wow.
Just for whom will Callista be the witness is the question.
Well, just the surgery to remove her eyelids alone must have been a little pricey. We don't mean to be rude. We just think that she does not have eyelids. But
she's Popeye the trophy wife. I'm Popeye the trophy wife.
So, Charlie, you've been watching Rupert Murdoch this morning?
A little bit. I haven't had a chance.
Former employer?
Yes.
That's right. My former employer and you know, a swell guy he was, too. But... this is really quite something. I think, I talked to John about this yesterday. I think what's going to happen is that the white knight in all of this is going to be his daughter Elizabeth.
Yeah, right.
Number one. And, you know, she's going to be the one they bring in. And everybody I've ever talked to in the News Corp empire says she should have been running the thing in the first place. But the Aussies didn't want to work for Sheila. So that was going to be was going to be a real problem.
Too right.
I feel like I'm in Crocodile Dundee.
She's going to be the only bloke who's not in the pokey.
Well, I mean, you know, we've been, obviously there's like six or seven headlines just this morning, you know, in terms of how bad this is going to get in the U.S.
Everybody knows what Scotland Yard is, okay? The head of Scotland Yard quit. Yeah. I mean, anyone who's read Sherlock Holmes books knows that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I'm just, Jim and I, you know, not prone to conspiracy, as you know, just find it a little odd that the head whistleblower turned up dead somehow.
And the death, however, is not suspicious.
Yes, that's what we're told.
But I don't know. This was an interesting guy. I've been reading about him. This was a guy who they paid to like party with celebrities you know, go into the men's room and take notes and then go back out and party some more with celebrities.
Yeah,
He was like the celeb sniffing correspondent.
Wow.
So like this guy was supposed to like do a lot of drink and a lot of blow with the celebrities and then go write about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently drug overdoses is part of the job.
Guys like
the idea that this happens right the day before Rupert testified.
Yeah, yeah. I the whole thing is just a
complete coincidence.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you don't have to be like John Le Carré or Jim Ward to see something odd.
Something seems odd with this. Something
it's
seems low.
Always
off.
Lee Harvey Oswald from the Book Depository acting alone. Always, in every instance.
I said earlier, I think Casey Anthony might be involved.
Stop it before we get to the Ambassador Hotel, please.
Man, so debt crisis, real quick before we go.
Sure.
Yeah,
what the heck?
I mean,
crash it. Boom. Goodbye. See you. I like the fact the guy at Moody's goes, just screw it. Get rid of the debt ceiling. You people can't be trusted to govern yourselves anyway. The hell with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it does
They're
seem...
going to do it. I mean, I know. I would have bet anything against them. I would have bet anything against, you know, on the side of them not doing it. This is all being just sort of this prodigious bluff, and I still think it might be. But I swear there's 40 of them that would not mind at all to see the entire financial system come crashing down.
Mm-hmm. I know.
As long as they got what they wanted.
Yeah, Jim DeMint and the Junior DeMints.
And I would like Junior DeMints.
Yeah.
The double DeMints twins.
All right. Charlie Pierce.
It's a breath mint. It's gum. All right, you guys. Have a good
day. I love you. It was so great to give you a big hug in person.
Yeah, that was terrific. It was a good night, too.
Yeah.
With a good house, as we say in showbiz.
Yeah. Yeah, wicked. Wicked smile. All right, honey. Thank you. Wicked pizza. 45 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What kind of animals riding what now? Oh, God, I never thought I could recover from baby monkey riding back with
me. This is Hamster on a Piano Eating Popcorn.
Laying his back, eating popcorn.
On a couple of black keys.
He's a hamster.
And the piano's being played around him.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw you on the piano eating that popcorn. I knew you were no ordinary hamster.
All right. That's
up on your Facebook
page. No chimpanzee
page.
Riding on a Segway, but that is a silly hamster. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Mama. I haven't been loyal to you this morning. Oh. I've been watching Rupert. Oh, God, this is so sweet. Rupert has CRS, can't remember squat.
His
son, when asked by an MP about, like, how they handle the bookkeeping of, the bribes and payoffs, he literally said, well, you know, sometimes it's good to use cash.
A bag of cash.
And then some MP was saying, well, you've been having payoffs of like £1 million. Would this come up in conversation with the editors? And Rupert was like, no.
No.
Yeah. What?
Awesome.
No.
Why would I?
Oh, he's really implicating himself, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, all right. Buddy's done. Okay.
Eyes.
John Nichols, our buddy, our pal from Madison, Wisconsin. Where those people worship Satan, as you know.
According to Bill O'Reilly.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
But he writes, Australian-born billionaire Rupert Murdoch has manipulated not just the news, but the news landscape of the United States for decades. That's what, you know, we always talk about with Eric Bollard and others. He has done so by pressuring the Federal Communications Commission and Congress to alter the laws of the land and regulatory standards in order to give his media conglomerate an unfair advantage in competition, quote-unquote, with more locally focused, more engaged, and more responsible media. Now with Murdoch's News Corp empire in crisis, collapsing bit by bit under the weight of a steady stream of allegations about illegal phone hacking and influence peddling in Britain, there's an odd disconnect occurring in much of the major media of the U.S. We're hearing that a lot. aren't
Holly
we, Jim,
Diddley.
That people don't want to get on the bad side because, oh, you know, it might not, you know, they don't want to get on Fox's bad side. Oh, and by the way, someone wrote me and said, don't be gloating over Fox people losing their jobs because my daughter works on Glee. I don't mean Glee.
Well,
I'm talking about Fox News.
I have a lot of people that work over at 20th Century, a lot of friends that work over at 20th Century Fox. And
we're talking about what Fox News does as a political organ of the Republican Party.
But their 401ks over there are getting decimated because of News Corp.
Right.
Glee will be fine. Yeah. It's an American institution. So any network would be happy to have it, I'm sure. Anyway, so I just meant to say that was a Glee exception. I didn't mean your daughter that was something. All right, let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
This issue I'm thinking here is there's a law called Sarbanes-Oxley laws that were created as a result of Enron. Uh-huh. And Ken Lay's claiming I didn't know what was going on. And the Sarbanes-Oxley laws basically have said now, you can't get away with that. You have to sign off each year or each quarter that you do know what's going on, that you are aware of the risks, and you are also aware that there are things put in place to prevent those risks from taking place. So I don't know if this exactly applies to this, but it sure would seem to appear that claiming ignorance on the part of the Rupert dynasty there is shouldn't hold water. And I also know that these laws are in every country now. So it'll be, I don't know if this exactly applies to it, but it certainly seems that it would.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's amazing, Dave, how many people have already compared this to Nixon and to Watergate, and you know, this, you know, what did the owner know, and when did he know it, and you know, tapes, the whole thing, right?
Exactly right. Yeah, and Murdoch is squirming because, you know, this is what happens to little demigods. They think that they can get away with anything, and so they try anything, and they're buffered by their minion around them, and then all of a sudden the minion get tired of being thrown to the bus, and there you go.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Dave. Let's go to Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I've been watching the hearings, too, unfortunately, but I did catch the Michelle Bachmann prayer.
Yes.
And if she said Jehovah in that prayer, I'm guessing Jehovah Witness. And a lot of people in the South don't think that that's a religion no more than the Mormon religion.
Well, no, Jehovah is another name for God.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean Jehovah's Witnesses.
I know that, but a lot of people don't understand that.
She belongs more to a Pentecostal
denomination. They normally use Jehovah though to name God. So
yeah, we just like the way she talks to him like a toddler.
You are a Jehovah God.
Lord,
yes, you are.
Day is at hand.
Yes,
we are in the last
days.
You are Jehovah God.
Yes.
We know that the times are in your hands, and we give them to you.
And if you're good,
the
we'll give you another
hand,
cookie.
The day Lord, when your return will come nigh. Nothing is more important than bringing sheep into the fold and bringing new life into the kingdom. You have weeded that garden, and the harvest is at hand.
What? Huh? And what? Sheep? What? Weeds? Gardens?
It's like she's reading
God's
bedtime
what?
Story.
Yeah.
And then, God.
And then
sheep come in, and then we are in the last days, and you're the gardener, and I'm the weed whacker. And also, okay, and now Herman Cain sings, what a bunch of crazy religious right whacks we currently have in the Republican field. Zoinks!
Who told Herman Cain he could sing?
The same guy.
Jesus.
Oh,
Jehovah God.
That whole Jehovah
horrible
God to
Casio
you.
Keyboard.
I must tell Jesus that all Muslims are going to hell. All of my trials.
I think Jesus knows all
of
your
trials
already.
No twisty
banging
bread.
On that piano. Like
yeah.
I cannot bear.
I am the king.
I'm the king.
Of the
All right, dear God, I'm going to yak. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Stephanie, good morning.
Hello.
I just read in the USA Today that finally Americans are wising up. They're starting to see that the Republicans are just as much at fault.
Yeah, well, more so. 71% think are critical of the Republicans' handling of this debt ceiling thing.
And
well, here's my point, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. The branches that look similar that grow off the same tree trunk are exactly that. For the people that got kind of mad at Obama there, you know, it was getting kind of lack, you know, there in 2010, November. Now, look what we got, the nightmare we're dealing with. Do not get mad at this man. He's a warrior. He's fighting hard. He's probably had the most resistance of any president in the U.S.
That's
history.
Right. He's actually the God warrior. Yeah.
Well, you know,
I'm a God warrior!
If you vote a Republican president candidate in, you'll have the worst change in the history of this country.
That's right.
You'll see the worst economic downfall.
Yeah, right.
You'll
check it out already.
Right.
Yep, exactly. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, we got Right Wing World, we got Celebrity Stack, we got much more. Stay tuned. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it now with more
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, John Fuglesang, for filling in yesterday's fabulous job. Mama drying out from Boston. Still beating the groupies off with a cricket bat, as he said.
Usually you can't stay away from your own show long enough. You usually call in when you call
in
sick.
I know.
What?
I'm a little bit of a workaholic, but I
what happened yesterday?
I need a little break.
All right.
Mama, we planned it. Because, as you know, I'm a human science experiment. No one has ever done a national morning drive radio show and a national comedy tour at the same time. So if it kills me, people will know not to do it in the future. I'm a little bit of an experiment. But thank you, Boston! What a time we had at the Wilbur Theater Saturday night.
That sounds like a big crowd.
Goodness gracious. Oh, yeah, I dived into the mosh pit. I really did. I was knocked over a few tables. It was, woo! Rock and roll! It was almost like I was in Wizard!
Oh!
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, everybody. SexyLiberal.com, the website. SexyLiberal on
Excellent!
Facebook. Thank you. All right. So everybody go to SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Follow us, SexyLiberal on Twitter. Lots of great new picks up from Boston. And, ladies and gentlemen, up next, Aisha Tyler joins the tour in August. Yeah.
City of Santa Fe, looking for something really different?
And now for something completely different.
Santa Fe. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is headed to the Great Southwest.
Sunny Santa Fe would be nice.
That's right. Your favorite progressive players are bound for New Mexico.
I am New Mexico.
On August 6th, the Lenzic Theater in Santa Fe will welcome the ultimate trio grand. John Fuglesang, Aisha Tyler,
yummy,
and Mamacita herself, Stephanie Miller.
What do you think of that, folks?
That's incredible.
Tickets are available online at Lenzic.org by calling 505-988-1234 or by visiting the Lenzic Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at the Lenzic Theater in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
I needed a ride to New Mexico!
Santa Fe, prepare yourself for true liberal enchantment.
I just got that. Woo-hoo! You're the Trio Grand.
Yeah, we are the Trio Grand. Get it?
Hey.
And by the way, we had to add a second show, and there, I believe, are very few tiny little, few single seats left even for that one. We're doing a matinee for the first time.
Are they tiny little seats?
We're doing a 3 p.m. and a 7 p.m.
Whoa.
In Santa Fe. And then we got Detroit coming up. Let's see what else. Asheville is September 24th. Seattle, we had to add a show September 30th and October 1st. L.A. sold out. Sorry, gone. October 21st and 22nd.
Are you going to add a third show to L.A.?
No! San Francisco is Friday, October 29th. We had to add a show and Saturday, October 20th. October 28th and October 29th. Austin is November 12th. Buffalo, November 19th. Get it. Go. Get it. John in Boston. So I'm standing in line. Oh, this is more sexy liberalness. Standing in line to get into the theater at 7:01 p.m. thinking I'm late. And who comes running across Tremont Street through the line of people and into the side door with their Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkins but Mama herself? LOL, I should have known I was early. I was just staying across the street.
At the W Hotel, we found out.
At the W. Yeah, it was fine. It was great. Let's see. This one, Terry in Massachusetts, the crazy peace lady of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, we needed one.
Super geek. Good morning, Mama. I wanted to thank you for indulging my geekness last Saturday night at the Sexy Liberal Show. My pleasure. I geek out when I meet listeners, too. I'm like, really? You listen to this crap? God, love you. It was a delight to see you. It was better than I ever expected. Forgive my geekiness, but you got me through the Bush administration. It was a dream come true to meet you in person.
You're welcome.
My significant other said he had never seen me so excited. Also, the next time you say geek out, I want you to remember me, and no one could be geekier than I was Saturday. Oh, trust me, I can be geekier. I keep on the plane. I saw Professor Henry Louis Gates, Jim. I had a little beer summit with him.
Really?
I crashed the first class curtain and went up to say hello. I'm like, I'm going to get in here before they boot me out. And I was like, oh, I really love you.
And he didn't.
He's going to come on the show.
Well, he told you that to get you out
yes.
of space.
Well, I asked him to see his first class ticket because I'm like, how is there a black man in first class? I need to see your papers. That can't be. See, that's a joke because the police asked him to see his ID in his own home.
Right.
And
right.
he's a professor at Harvard he's a black man. So they were.
Did he enjoy that little joke?
No.
Not at all.
No.
Computer says no.
No, he didn't.
Surprised
I didn't do that.
Throw you into the cargo hold.
Yeah.
Steering.
Strap you to the top of the plane for the rest of the ride.
All right. Oh, by the by. So, yeah, a few tiny tickets left for just the second show we just added in Seattle. But Mama will be in Seattle this Saturday as well for the AM 1090 forum that we do every year. And Congressman Dennis Kucinich has just been added. He will be on panel with me in the HOA. Randy Rhodes, Mike Malloy, Ron Reagan, Mike Pep, Antonio Norman Goldman, all very, very exciting. Go to AM 1090 for tickets to come see us all this Saturday. It's the big town hall we do every year.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! Oh, as Michelle Bachman would say.
Yay!
Oh, by the way, we were played her little thing where she's talking to God like he's a toddler.
Mm-hmm.
Chris in Yankton says, guys, what's the deal with Michelle Bachman talking to God like a toddler and using stories that sound like a children's book of Bible metaphors put through a sausage grinder?
Yeah.
We're weeding the sheep from the garden of iniquity.
What?
I guess it's better than Herman Cain and his Casio keyboard from the piano lounge at the Pensacola Airport, Howard Johnson's.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, you know, these headlines. As you know, the Internet's evil, particularly Facebook.
Oh, sure.
Mother investigated for putting children on eBay. That is awful. Everyone knows you should put them on Twitter. They go a lot faster when you tweet about it than if you... What's wrong with you? God.
You are an idiot.
An Australian woman was...
questioned by... You would totally do this.
Sure.
You would.
How much Chardonnay is that? What did I get? An Australian woman was questioned by police after trying to sell her children on eBay. They included photographs of the woman's two children, both of whom were under 10. Police tracked her down. The woman said it was a joke. It's a joke! It was a joke. I was drunk.
Well, it's Australia.
That's right. Of course she's drunk.
Kids, shut up! I'm putting you on eBay! All right. Speaking of Australians, I want to do listener Mike and Raleigh's tribute to Rupert Murdoch's testimony again today.
You're a lying sack of crap. Yeah. Scheming, stinking sack of crap. Nasty sack of liquid crap. Lying sack of crap.
Woo! I think you might.
There should be a Midnight Oil song, maybe.
Well.
Vanessa in D.C. watching on the Ustream. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Stephanie. I met you when you guys came here, you and Chris, back when we had Progressive Radio on 1500 AM.
Oh, dear God. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
When they had both sides of the political spectrum on the air in Washington, D.C.
And we were waiting on your black boyfriend to come in. And remember, everybody kept saying, is that him? What's his name?
Kevin from D.C.
Kevin in D.C., that's right.
He carried me out of there like the scene in Officer and a Gentleman.
Oh, my God. I missed it. I must have left early. But look, the reason I call it is, first of all, you're bringing your show to D.C.
The sexy liberal? I don't know. There's always sexy liberal elves working on things. We'll see.
Tell them to work hard.
There is demand for D.C., so we are working on it.
Yeah, okay, great. Now, the other thing I wanted to tell you was that I am so intrigued. First of all, I'm looking from work on a government computer, so...
Hello.
Keep it quiet. But what are you guys eating? I am so intrigued by what you guys...
Let's see. This morning, I am eating leftover chicken matzo ball soup.
Okay. And Chris ate a lot today.
I did, yeah. Well, the right-wing station next door got catered this morning. And so I had,
but all the food was gone by the time I got
here. So I had some steak and eggs, actually.
Okay.
And now I'm just eating pineapple cottage cheese like I do every morning.
Thanks for your concern and nosiness, Vanessa.
Yeah, I just wanted to know. And I look forward to it. I keep right on listening.
I'm trying to eat because I've lost a lot of weight because I'm having a bad
life.
Yes.
Don't.
I'm a little bag of bones.
Love you.
All right, love you
so much. And guess what? You and I have another thing in common.
What?
Tickling your butt does make you pee.
Doesn't it? It's like it's a relaxed stuff back there. I'm a little tense.
Yeah.
I have shy pee syndrome. That's okay. The only part of me that's shy. But
well,
all right.
What? If you're losing weight, eat fattening stuff.
Okay.
Eat the nice
right.
Thing.
Okay.
Love you.
All
bon
right.
Bon.
No, I just bought like 6 pairs of new jeans yesterday. I'm not getting any weight.
Oh, well, yeah. You need to put something on. A woman of your advanced age does
right.
Not handle.
You need some padding for those brittle
yes,
bones.
Yes, you really do.
Especially when I'm throwing myself around on stage like a rag doll. I don't
yeah.
Know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, you're doing Chevy Chase type pratfalls.
I imitated having sex with every single title-winning Boston sports team on Saturday, and I was... Woo! Whoa, my bones are still a little sore. That stage at the Wilbur is not very soft. It's not very spongy.
It wasn't designed for that kind of
no.
Well, who knew?
Shenanigans.
Yeah, A Streetcar Named Desire debuted there. So I guess they were used to
did
a little, class,
really?
Little classier stuff than us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you deliver your line from Streetcar Named Desire?
Blanche, it's time to go.
Thank you. I'm always dependent on the kindness of strangers. Washed! That's out of these grapes! Washed! Okay, thank you. Alan in Chicago.
I'm from the start.
Hello,
and
Alan.
As much as it is fun to mock Michelle Bachmann and yes. Some of the other candidates, and you have to kind of be careful because, I mean, even in Islam, I mean, you have people that look forward to going on a big, long trip to wear white robes and dance around a black square rock. So, I mean, we can mock every religion, and I think it should be awesome.
Oh, I'm not mocking her religion. It's the way she's talking to God like a toddler.
Yeah, her tone of voice.
Yeah.
But it's still their religious thing. I mean, I have some friends here in Chicago that go to a huge, huge, huge church down the way, Twin Lakes, and they're a little bit odd, but they're not dangerous, and you know, they're okay with me, and I'm not a big religious guy, but you know, listening to them talk, if I quoted them and then, you know, replayed it.
Oh, we're not mocking her religion. Listen, Herman Cain's the one that was mocking Mitt Romney's religion,
right,
saying
right.
He didn't explain it right. That's why he can't be
we're mocking
president.
Her tone of voice, talking to God like he's a toddler. Not everybody in their religion does that.
That's true, but I mean, it is kind of a religious deal in her way, and I don't know. I just think
so. You're saying everything religious
is off.
No,
we're mocking that she said the rapture was going to happen in 2006. That's what she was talking about.
And it didn't.
No.
Well, luckily she was wrong.
All right, let's hear.
Well, it turns out the Lord is really bad at math.
Yeah.
He's counting wrong.
Lord, do you need to do more math homework?
You really
do.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Is at hand?
We
I'm going to talk slowly for you.
Days. You are Jehovah God.
You are Jehovah God. Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you
Jehovah
are.
God.
You
are
who's
Jehovah?
A good Jehovah
who's
God?
Who's a handsome, romantic Jehovah God? Yes, you are.
Oh.
You are the most handsome, romantic Jehovah God.
You got to get another dog.
Yeah, and
Jehovah
dog spelled backwards is God.
Good. Jehovah dog.
Yeah, Jehovah
I
dog.
I rest my case.
There you go.
I'm going to rename Max and Fred. You love me, Jehovah God.
Who's a good Jehovah dog?
You're a Jehovah dog. Who's a good Jehovah dog?
Roll over, God. You can shake your belly.
We're going to hell.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Make room in the handbasket.
Eat your double hockey sticks, please.
Shh. Okay, God. I'm going to talk real slow. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the number. Jill in Madison. Hello, girlfriend. Hi, Jill.
Hi.
Oh, well, all right. I'll just wait here.
Okay. So I took it off speakerphone.
Oh, hello.
Okay, hello.
Oh, I can hold.
Hi. Hi, I'm sorry. Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Moog. Listen, I have not been able to listen in a while. I was telling Rebecca, and
what?
I was sure.
You?
I'm
biatch.
Sorry. When I figure out the iPod thingy, I'm going to get the iCam.
Get the thing with the $4.95 and the
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
And the Stitcher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All that
okay.
stuff. But I mean, when I see Rupert Murdoch, he looks like the evil Dark Lord to me. I mean, it's just perfect.
Yeah, he Voldemort.
No.
Emperor Palpatine. I see the evil Dark Lord.
He's Emperor Palpatine.
I mean,
Oh, pardon me.
No.
Palpatine, yes.
Yes.
That's it.
My bad. Okay.
Voldemort doesn't have a nose. Rupert Murdoch has a big nose. So, yeah.
What's the character that Mitch McLipless and McChinless looks like?
Zoidberg. From Roy Burr. Yeah, from Futurama.
Futurama.
That has just what below his nose?
Just like tentacles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep his chin clean like a car wash.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. All right. Could you take your organ out for me, please? Funeral. Thank you.
Oh.
Campaign on life support. Gingrich meets a coroner.
Oh, bless his heart.
You're in the county coroner at a Tea Party event in South Carolina. Oh. How fitting.
Oh, wow.
Shouldn't his campaign be getting last rites
by now?
Pronounce
your campaign dead.
Dead as a doornail.
That stunks me. He assured the former House Speaker that he wasn't here because you're looking ill. A chuckling Gingrich feigned relief. For the embattled White House candidate seen by some as dead man walking in the crowded Republican field, the encounter may have been a bit close to home. I think I mentioned he's about $1 million in debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. It's not good.
He owes money to a...
So he's going to get the country out of this fiscal situation?
Yeah, right.
And his own campaign is already...
He owes money to a private plane service called Moby Dick. Seriously. That's the name of the company.
Call me Ishmael, frankly.
Funny for an adulterer like that, just saying.
Even my plane is named,
Gingrich's campaign remains a skeleton operation. Fitting for... He has not moved to replace most of the consultants and staff members who left. One Republican consultant said, I don't view him as a serious candidate. Frankly.
Oh, they did not say frankly.
Yeah, they said frankly.
Oh.
Frankly. I don't know anyone who does view him as a serious candidate. It's not uncommon for a candidate to become delusional, and that's what I think you're seeing here. Oh, beauty.
He's starting to hold press conferences on Facebook where you can do it for free.
Aww.
Wow.
Bless his heart. Mm-hmm. At least he's still trying. He's got pluck.
Well, somebody's got to pay for Callista's jewelry bills.
And eyelid removal.
Yeah.
Okay. He needs to take... Can I have Russian music? He needs to take a page, Jim, from Pootie Poot. Russian girls urged to strip to support Putin as president.
Yeah.
Da.
And yeah, they like...
does. An online campaign has been launched in Russia urging young women to support Prime Minister Vladimir Putin in a presidential vote by taking off their clothes.
Oh.
His only way to show support is to take off clothes.
You can only do that in Russia in the summer.
Clothes get in the way of support.
You can only do that in the summer in Russia, not really in the winter.
Called Putin's Army. It features a video of a blonde student named Diana who struts along Moscow Street in high heels and a black suit before scrawling, I will tear my clothes off for Putin, on a white top and red lipstick, and then starting to undo her clothes.
Hmm.
Inviting girls to strip off for Putin for the chance of winning an iPad, too. Oh, well, I'd do that, then.
You would not. You don't give a crap about iPads.
Girls, you get iPad. Have iPad for you.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to tell the story of what the good person I am, do you, Chris?
You gave me your iPad. Thank you.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Because you didn't know how to work it?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know how to work it. He just really wanted one, and he didn't have one.
Oh, she had no apps on it, and it hadn't been updated since she first got it.
And he wanted it really bad, and, you know.
Please, please, madam, may I have
your
iPad?
That's a sign I'm about to cash everything in. Yeah. When you start giving everything away, I'm like, I don't care. Take this stupid thing. Who cares? You'll need it when you don't have a job.
Can I have your house?
Sure. Why not? I have no attachment to things anymore.
Aww.
Wow, Skipper Doodle. Also, I'm going to snap from all the traveling I'm doing. And I'm going to be this guy. Denied a fake cigarette. Unruly flyer pelts attendant with peanuts.
Oh.
I've had just about, I fly Screaming Baby or Chatty Tyler or Big Fat White Guy Airlines, where I'm in the middle seat between two
They're
enormous...
They're still giving out peanuts? Wow, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Wow.
A Southwest Airlines passenger was arrested on charges that he hurled bags of peanuts and pretzels at a flight attendant.
Not just individual peanuts, bags of peanuts.
No, bags
of them. Wow.
He was upset they refused to allow an electronic cigarette.
Yeah.
It's still a cigarette, right? You can't do that on a plane.
You can't do it on a plane, but it's not a cigarette. You're basically inhaling water vapor.
Well, you can't do it.
We run ads for them here on the Stephanie Miller Show, actually.
Oh, well, of course I love them. What's wrong with you, Southwest?
I don't really see
he also targeted the
those, because there's no exhaust of any kind.
I don't know. He also targeted the cockpit door with his snack barrage. Which I think they also don't take kindly to that.
No, they don't.
The pilot's notoriously humorless.
Yeah.
The complaint alleges that he committed a final act of unruliness by jumping out of his seat and opening the overhead storage bins as the flight began to approach Salt Lake City.
Hmm.
And that's...
Computer says no.
You can't do that.
Nope.
All right.
Maybe someone gave him some sodi pop and it drove him crazy.
Perhaps.
Because it's caffeine.
have that.
By the way, someone's going to go ape on me on a flight because I have to get a new carry-on bag because my handle doesn't go down. It takes me like 75 tries, and the people behind me are always like,
what is her problem?
Oh, you're
go!
You're that person.
I've been busy. I haven't touched a new one. 29 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World. It may be gone soon if Rupert Murdoch has anything to do with it. As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's being hot and doing baby talk? I invented that. Summer of 98, I took it to a whole new level.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Comedian Kathleen Madigan joins us tomorrow, one of our very personal favorites, and Hump Days with Al Sparks. As we roll along here on the Stephanie Miller Show, Rupert Murdoch is testifying as we speak. Most humble day of my life. Oh, dear. Wah, wah, wah.
Should we dip into it a little bit?
Yeah, let's see what he's saying. Crikey.
Okay.
Well, one day this is that. It came clear from the first couple of questions to you, Rupert Murdoch, that you've been kept in the dark quite a bit on some of these real serious issues. Is there no...
Nobody kept me in the dark. I may have been lax and not asking more, but it was such a tiny part of our business.
I understand that, but obviously, if you've come to this point, he wouldn't be here if it wasn't extremely serious.
Oh, it's become extremely serious.
Is there no written rules that certain things have to be reported straight to the very top? It sounds as if there are no such things.
Anything that's seen as a crisis.
It's less left to the trust of.
Anything that's seen as a crisis comes to me.
Mr. Keene, may I just...
Yeah. This isn't seen hacking into dead people's phones. That doesn't reach crisis level.
And what's been happening...
I'm not a micromanager.
What's been happening this entire time is that the MPs will ask Rupert Murdoch a question, and he'll stumble over an answer, and then his son, who's sitting right next to him, is saying...
What
my father meant to say is... So Rupert Murdoch is not
doing
well.
Not in bloody business. What my father meant to say was...
Yeah, exactly. All right, hey, so Right Wing World might be a disappearing species, but there's a lot less sound bites without Fox News.
Oh, we'll find some. I'm sure we will.
All right, let's dive into the Right Wing World. See what's doing. Mark Stein in for Rush Limbaugh.
You're getting to the point where there's a permanent electoral majority for Obama-style statism, and that gets very dangerous. That gets very dangerous for the cause of liberty.
We want that deep-dish Herman Cain style.
Yes.
With twisty bread.
That's a new one. What's statism? What's that?
Statism?
What the hell is
where
that?
The fact the state actually does things?
Yeah. Oh, I get it. That's
how
another,
awful
that's
is
another
that?
Version of communism or socialism, you mean. Uh-huh. Statism.
Statism? Wow.
I see.
Okay. All right.
So we got no liberty or flavor.
Whatever.
Anything. Okay. All right, Fox and the Freaks.
It looks perfect for someone like Rick Perry to get in and maybe galvanize. Hey, there's 29 Republican governors in this country. Only 3 have endorsed any candidate in this race, so it's very wide open. But you mentioned the fundraising. Can he get in and raise money with Mitt Romney? I don't know.
There are a lot of Republicans who think he can't.
Well, the Christian Coalition, I think he could get a lot of money from that
big time.
Because Romney, obviously not being a Christian, Rick Perry, he's always on talk shows, on Christian talk shows. He has days of prayer in Texas.
Houston,
that's right.
Stadium.
That's right. And Tony Perkins, the Family Research Council president, very well known in the Christian community, he is endorsing him or saying that he hopes that he gets...
Evangelicals pushing
appear to
jump into the race.
Oh, well, Tony Perkins says he's the right kind of Christian then. He's the right
Vote
kind
for
of gay bashing
Tony
Christian.
Tony Perkins will stab you to death in the shower.
Exactly.
And then you go to hell. Vote for me or go to hell. That's your choice right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they're already. Who's the God warrior there on Fox and Friends?
She's not a Christian!
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Romney, they're already turning on him.
Yeah,
he's not the right kind of Christian.
They're saying he's just not a Christian.
No.
Obviously not a Christian,
he's
said.
He's dark-sided.
Yeah.
Dark-sided!
Wow.
Oh, God, Gloria!
Yikes. All right.
She is dark-sided, too!
Hey! You know what? Listen to Michelle Bachmann. God wants you to modulate.
Yeah.
Don't scream at God.
God doesn't like screaming.
God likes to be talked to like a toddler. Do it like Michelle Bachmann does.
You're a Jehovah dog.
He's my hero. He's my handsome romantic.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days. You're Jehovah God.
You're Jehovah God. You're Jehovah God. Who's the little Jehovah God?
Who? Who is your
eye? You're the Jehovah God.
Who's the handsome romantic Jehovah God?
You're going to hell. Seriously.
Who wants a gaudy treat?
Who likes a gaudy treat? Who likes an ear scratch? Jehovah God.
Who wants some kibble?
You have got to get a dog and name it Jehovah Dog. A little, like, teacup, you know, something or other.
Something like your old dog Pookie. Jehovah Dog.
Who's going to knock on all my neighbor's doors? Who's there? Jehovah God! It's Jehovah God. And Jehovah God's mama. Yeah. Okay. Wow-wee. And apparently Herman Cain, the right kind of Christian on Fox mm-hmm. News Sunday.
Islam is both a religion and a set of laws, Sharia law.
Oh. Mm.
That's the difference between any one of our other traditional religions where it's just about
Ten Commandments. Much?
The Hello. People in the community know best. Hello. And I happen to side with the people
Leviticus?
In the community.
So you're saying Hello. Any community, if they want to ban a mosque?
Yes, they have the right to do that.
Oh, really?
That's not discriminating based upon religion against their particular religion.
Oh, no.
That is an aspect of them building that mosque that doesn't get talked about. And the people in the community know what it is, and they're talking about it.
All right. Can we ban Godfather's Pizza?
Yeah, because it sucks.
Oh, God.
Blech. Shouldn't there be a commandment against crappy pizza? I just told
Jesus. It's in Leviticus, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Stoned to death if you make bad pizza.
Exactly.
Especially if it's, you know, pork and...
Well, yeah, their sausage looks like seafood. Rabbit pellets.
Bad pizza and bad singing? Isn't there some kind of law? Okay, Greg Gutfeld of The Five.
Yeah.
The Fox Show, The Five.
The media is interested in, let's not have a Walmart built. America doesn't care about that. America is more interested in this debate than they are about Walmart. Huh? His gaffes are based on just being human. He has an understandable anxiety about Islam, because we all have that anxiety.
No, not really. Oh, we all do. Well, all five of us on the five.
On the
Fox Bigots. Five Fox Bigots. Is that the name of the show? Or is it the five Islamophobes?
Yeah, that was the original title.
Yeah,
it wasn't
just,
polling well. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they just cut it back a little bit. Okay. All right.
The five Nimrods.
That was the original title. Glenn Beck on the president.
This is a man who will target anyone. Anyone he doesn't like, he will target them and destroy them. This is not equal justice, Mr. President. Listen to Van Jones. Equal justice. You're right. Equal justice for all, including oil companies.
Oh, God. What?
Wait.
Huh?
You know what? He has been relieved of any need to make any sense at all now that he doesn't have a television show. Because radio, as you know, is for nonsense. That's what it is. It's just for babbling nonsense. It is. We're that... What scene is that?
Thing.
Yeah, Steve Carell thing.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, by the way. Can I say something maybe, I don't know, a little unkind, but if you watch it, so the Reverend Al Sharpton hosting on MSNBC?
It's a little rough.
Okay, friend of mine, we're saying it's kind of Garrett Morris news for the hard of hearing. We're not really sure what's that about. There's a news story about Rupert Murdoch.
Today, Rupert Murdoch is on trial.
He just kind of yells the news. I've met him in person. I like him. I just don't get his style. It's a lot of yelling.
And
it's news for the hard of hearing.
Yeah. Rumor has it that they want to replace Cenk with Reverend
dear.
Al.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
In other news. In other news! Reverend, we heard you. You have a microphone right on
what
your lapel.
What I said was...
It's a little rough.
Michael Steele, I just need to know why you're taking... I'm like, he's right in the box next to you.
He's not a news anchor.
Oh, dear.
He's not a news anchor.
Was, I don't know what. Look, I turned on one of my own right in the middle of Right Wing World.
Well,
I apologize. That took chutzpah.
It does. Chutzpah. Yes, it did take chutzpah.
It takes chutzpah to talk to God like a toddler, doesn't it?
Who's it?
Who's you again? Okay, Chris.
Who's my Jehovah dog? Who's my Jehovah doggy?
Okay, Chris. She's just a... You know what? She's just a comedy skit every day for us. Yay, I say, for Michelle Bachman and her big gay husband. Her big gay husband and her chutzpah. And her talking to God like a toddler.
Takes a lot of chutzpah to be a barbarian.
Okay. Chris Stigall on Fox Business.
This is democracy. We're right here in Philadelphia, and I have walked through Independence Hall I don't know how many times, and I don't remember once reading the Federalist Papers that John Jay was a heterosexual. I don't think it's particularly relevant to anything, and frankly, I think it's a slap in the face to the gay community. Mm. Why in the world does it have to accomplish great things? Your sexuality now matters?
Yes.
That seems contradictory, frankly, to everything the gay community has worked toward.
It's a
maybe
slap
we should
in
have
the
a
face.
Test, right? And you have a historical figure, and you got to check, gay, straight. Maybe he thought about it at one time, but now he's not. You know,
do you have to turn him over?
You have to turn him over and check?
Huh?
What? Yeah, it's a slap in the face for gays to, you know,
be recognized,
for mentioned that they have existed in the history of the world
and have contributed
to the children.
Great things to.
Yeah, they're going crazy. I love this. This is in the LA Times. They're going. Bleep out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're teaching. They have the audacity, Jim, to teach kids that gay people have existed in our history. Yep. So.
But it was a choice.
It's a slap in the face. It's like, you know, and they probably enjoyed it because barbarians, as you know, need to be
disciplined.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated.
Yes.
They need to be disciplined.
Oh, did you hear that? Marcus Bachman is saying that tape was doctored. He never said gays were barbarians that need to be disciplined.
Sure.
Okay.
But we have the tape and we play
today
it
today. I'm declaring for president of clang, clang, clang of the trolley. Marcus! Stop acting so gay!
June is busting out all over.
What's the Siri on the top with the fringe? That one, I don't know. I just
the Siri with the fringe on the top.
Just show
to me. Ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Siri.
Marcus, I'm talking about the debt ceiling. Stop it.
When he breaks into something out something in, from Wicked, then it's all over. Then we know.
45 minutes after. Boy.
Firework king of the forest.
45 minutes after
I'd be
the
a
hour.
Barbarian.
Celebrity stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it. I don't get it, but I love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I'm talking and you didn't think that I would hear it. I'll hear you talking like that, getting everybody fired up. Cause there ain't no holler back, girl. Ain't no holler back, girl.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jordan in Chicago on Michelle Bachman. Hello, Jordan.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show.
Good, thank you.
Real quick, Bachman must be a fan of the movie Talladega Nights, Little Baby Jesus. Brenda, Little Baby Jesus.
I remember that. Unless I know what you're talking about, the Will Ferrell movie. Ah, hilarious. So this one, I don't know where we found this. Daily Caller.
The Daily Caller, which is Tucker Carlson's website.
Stress-related condition incapacitates Bachman. Heavy pill use alleged.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no. I'd get headaches if I was married to a big gay husband, wouldn't you, Jim? And also, you know,
because
I don't know.
Constant singing all the time.
I need a couple of pills.
Oh boy.
I'm just saying, can you imagine the audio in that house every night? There's her
what
talking.
What a day this has been.
That's her
what
talking to God like a toddler.
Why, it's almost Michelle, like being in love.
There's Michelle praying.
Lord, the day is at hand.
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley.
We are in the last days.
There's the sort of whispery, talking to a toddler, praying in one room, and then there's, like, show tune room.
You are Jehovah God.
Marcus has, like, nipple tassels on.
Hot pants.
Singing Gypsy Rose songs. Okay. I'm just saying.
Something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great.
Jesus God, John.
The air is
we
coming.
Know that the times are in your hands.
Please,
it's something
God,
great is
please.
Coming.
Why can I not pray to get away from my husband? Please, God, if he sings another show.
Come on, deliver to me.
A little migraine. for 24 years. Please help me, tell God. Okay, this is from the Daily Caller. The Minnesota Republican frequently suffers from stress-induced medical episodes that she has characterized as severe headaches. These episodes say witnesses occur. Well, yeah, I mean, someone is singing shoutouts in your ear for
when
how many
you're
years?
A jet, you're a jet all the way. From your first cigarette to your last dying day.
Man up!
How is it that you know all these show tunes, Jim?
Well, because he's a straight guy that's done theater.
Yes. I was probably in the gayest play ever called Chuck and Di, the tabloid musical.
Oh,
I remember that.
Oh, wow.
And then Diana died.
It wasn't funny anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I played Elvis with the jumpsuit and everything, and he was supposedly the father of the twins.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
All right. These episodes say witnesses occur once a week and on average and can incapacitate her for days at a time. Oh, perfect for a president.
Sure. Wow.
On at least three occasions, Bachman has landed in the hospital as a result. She has terrible migraine headaches, said a campaign aide. And they put her out of commission for a day or more at a time. They come out of nowhere and they're unpredictable.
Oh, boy.
They level her. When she gets them, frankly, she can't function at all. It's not like a little thing with a couple of ads. It's bad.
Ooh.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Migraines aren't fun. I've never
No, my friend gets them. They're awful.
Yeah.
It's just saying, in her case, she might get where the, migraine headaches might be coming from.
I hear they can give you hallucinations.
Well, yeah, and that's, I don't know if that's someone we want in a president, really.
Mm. Oh, dear, her friend, Dumb and Dumber, Sarah Palin.
Oh, yes.
Her documentary, The Undefeated, opens in Orange County here in California. Three people paid to attend
it. Ah! In Orange County, three people.
It did open up against Harry Potter,
Sure.
So there was some
competition. I kept getting emails to go to this, and I'm like, what? Why would I want to go to some stupid campaign commercial for Sarah Palin? Yes, she met her match at the AMC theaters, and this is in Orange County.
Yeah, at the Block at Orange.
Yes, Harry Potter kicked her ass. The documentary, The Undefeated.
Well, that's a misnomer right there.
Well, you can't be defeated if you quit.
And you can't blame Carmageddon because it didn't even happen. Carmageddon was like nothing.
She was kind of defeated in 2008 running for vice president.
Yeah, well, how is she undefeated?
Yeah.
According to an associate editor of The Atlantic, he and his two sisters appeared to be the only people who paid to attend the California premiere.
Bless their hearts.
Perhaps right-leaning Orange County moviegoers had read the early reviews. In Friday's Times, the film critic said the movie is a troop rallying campaign infomercial as imagined by Michael Bay. Hero-worshipping, crescendo-edited at a dizzying pace, thunderously repetitive, and its own worst enemy is a two-hour talking points briefing.
Oh, my God.
That's probably what gave Michelle Bachman a headache. It's an infomercial of almost comical omissions, according to the Orlando Sentinel.
But
currently, there are eight reviews on Rotten Tomatoes for The Undefeated. None are positive.
By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news coming out of the UK. Apparently, Rupert Murdoch was accosted at the hearing. And
did he get glittered?
I don't know. Parliament is in recess until after the disturbance is over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, then.
Are we daily? Had a bit of a blue.
Oh, boy. Chris, those Twitter wars. Bette Midler's in a Twitter war with Lady Gaga.
Mm.
She told her to stop doing the mermaid in a wheelchair. That's her act.
That has been her act for years.
She wrote, "Dear Lady Gaga, I've been doing singing mermaid in a wheelchair since 1980. You can keep the meat dress and the firecracker. The mermaid's mine." I may have to steal that for the next Sexy Liberal show. I'm running out of my own stuff, too. I actually stole Lady Gaga's act. I sang "Baby, I Was Born This Way" in Chicago with the blues band.
You did?
Yes.
Oof.
Hmm.
And we've heard you sing before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so you must bring me back to my most
I Need a Lover?
Painful moment. Yeah, when I sang "I Need a Lover" with the Lobster Band, the WCMF Lobster Band in Rochester in 1980-something, and I was in the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, and I heard these two girls came in, and the girl goes, she was awful.
Oh, no.
I came out of the bathroom weeping. Thanks a lot, you bitch.
Now,
I remember.
You put me in a shame spiral last week. Now I put you in a shame spiral. So there you go. You're welcome.
Nobody puts a baby in a corner. Did Jennifer Lopez cheat on Mark Anthony with a sexy video crew star? I don't know. He's a telenova star.
Telenovela.
Adios, mio.
I feel
William, Levy. He was in the I'm Into You video.
Literally, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. He has cheated on his wife with over 40 women, so just mathematically, it could be possible to chance.
I don't know.
Wow, someone more pathetic than me. According to reports, Kirstie Alley texts guys as soon as she manages to get their number. She says, want to hang out? Want to have dinner? I'll pay for it. I can get you a movie role.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's sad.
You know, guys tend to be turned off by an air of desperation.
Sweaty desperation, a turnoff. Who knew?
Sweaty desperation.
What? What? What is it? What is it mean?
Why aren't you going out with me?
Aretha Franklin is a hoarder. She needs, she's, stuff is piled everywhere. Fans send her letters and photos and gifts she can't part with any of it. Tables are covered with tchotchkes and stacked with letters and magazines. Every once in a while, you can see a Grammy poking out of the chaos. Oh. I do that. I have tchotchkes that fans give me, but I don't, there's no Grammy. There's just a...
No awards of any kind.
No Marconi, no nothing. Just nothing. A sad pile of tchotchkes covered in dog drool. That's good for us. I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward. It's all right. I'm on my way to therapy.
All right.
And Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.